SAPNSRadio.net, and of course you can interact with us at SAPNSRadio in all our social media platforms, and always remember to use the hashtag lunchbox and chill for more information. Right now we're joined by Colleen Cronje. She's the CEO of Brainline, so we're going to be talking about homeschooling versus traditional ways of schooling. We've seen that in most cases some of us became familiar with these type of schooling when we went to tertiary, enrolling on distance learning institutions such as the University of South Africa and all that. So maybe she'll elaborate on what homeschooling is for those who are not familiar with the times, and also how it differ to traditional school environment. Miss Colleen, thank you for joining us, and we really appreciate your time. Welcome to the Lunchbox.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
First of all, can you just give us a background and explanation of the terms of homeschooling for those who may not be aware and never came across of such a schooling environment?
Yes, it does sound unfamiliar to some people. I think if one, as a parent, thinks about educating your own children, you usually think about up to the age of 6 or 7 years old, and after that, what I would do is I would take my child and enroll him or her at the closest school to us, and then actually forget about the academic progress of the learner unless there is a problem. That's what we are used to. But over the past 20 or 30 odd years, the phenomenon of home education, in other words, parents deciding to take authority over the academic education of their children, not only on the social and emotional and physical development of their children, but the academic progress of their children, that has become something that has grown very much over the past few years. And parents have discovered that there are so many resources out there available. And there are companies such as Brainline who can support home education. Now, home education usually would be from the age of 7 up until the age of 15. Or if you'd like to translate that into grades, that would be grade 1 up until grade 9. For grade 10, 11, and 12, I think the appropriate term would be distance education. Because grade 10, 11, and 12 means that the child is no longer of school compulsory age. And therefore, the decision to do grade 10 and 11 remains with the parent and with the learner.
You know, most of the students who are also in tertiary, some of them are still struggling to get used to the online learning environment while they're at home and accessing all those tutorials through electronic communication and all those tools that are made available for them, because they're used to, into a school, into a classroom environment. How is it that achievable for students who are, for kids who are from 7 years or 6 to 16 years old, that is from primary till high school, while it's something that is challenging for tertiary students? How is it achievable for those type of learners who are in high school and primary level?
Very interesting question. You know, when children are in primary school and even in high school and they are in a traditional school, what they expect is to walk into a classroom and get the directive of the teacher as to what to do for that day. Their access to technology may be very limited. And if there's access to technology, it may be restricted to a desktop computer and not a laptop or a tablet or even mobile learning. So the exposure to technology is quite limited. However, when you get to tertiary institutions, they are more and more using the devices that the students may or may not have in his or her hand. In other words, they expect the student to either access the library and access the computers in the library to be able to go onto the learning portal which the university provides, or use their own devices. Now, immediately, because the students are not familiar with using technology and their devices, or have access to a facility such as a library where those devices are available, they are then fearful of using it. They think that they're going to break something if you click on a link or anything close to that. Or they are just so unfamiliar that they become, I would like to use the word disadvantaged, because they are not able to access the resources that the university has provided for them. So the university environment, the tertiary environment, becomes quite a scary issue, because I no longer am able to just use a pen and paper or just go get a book and then progress. I have to access additional resources, which is essential to my studies, using technology. So it becomes a very difficult environment.
We hope everyone was listening when the President Cyril Ramaphosa was making a speech on the SONA, when he highlighted that there are some procedures and things that are done in order to bring the robotics and improve the technology into the academic learning. What's your take on that issue? What do you think this country can do in order to accommodate these robotics and learning style that you guys are currently practicing right now, in order to accommodate this generation to adapt into the digital environment that we are already in?
That is a very difficult question. If you talk about robotics and you talk about coding, does not that sound wonderful? It sounds so far ahead. It sounds first world. It sounds like where we would like to be. However, reality really sets in when we discover that these children have to have access to technology. They have to have access to computers to be able to execute the assignments that comes with robotics or does come with coding. And if they don't have those devices, that is an issue. If the teachers in the classroom has not had absolutely good training in coding and in robotics and using technology, that again disadvantages not only the teacher but also the learners inside the classroom. So it becomes a conundrum. What do we do? And I think the basics need to be set in place first of all. The teachers have to be trained. They have to become familiar and less fearful of technology. They have to realize that coding is not something that one has to be fearful of. It can be accessed via training. And the same with also robotics. Robotics can be such a fun aspect of teaching and learning in the classroom. But the teachers stand back a little bit because they don't know how to do this. So I think we want to start with the basics and teach our teachers, train our teachers in doing all these things, because they then, in a very small way, can start with making learners familiar with robotics and coding. But robotics and coding as a name will not drizzle down from the top to our learners. It's got to start from the bottom up, with our schools and our teachers having adequate facilities and having adequate training.
Absolutely. So can you take us back to Brainline on what you guys are currently doing and what you have achieved so far as homeschooling is concerned?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, what we are about is access to education. And the only thing or the only way that we feel that we can increase access to education is using technology. Where the internet is, we feel there, if the learner has a device or any access whatsoever to the internet, that's where we can reach the learner. Whether it's a phone, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a laptop, whether it's a desktop, it doesn't matter. As long as they can have access, and these days what's so exciting to all of the projects is some of the municipalities even provide free data at certain hotspots. So that even creates more access. So we felt that using the internet is the way to go. And that's what we do. We create a platform where the learners can log in, get their assignments, do it, attend live classes, view the recording of those classes, and then upload those assignments back to us so that we can mark it and then give them feedback. So it becomes a very live, very active environment, and that's where the word virtual comes in. Mm. Now, virtual for me means it sounds like it's in the digital world, but it's so close to what the real world looks like that it almost feels real. You can share the energy between the learners. You can share the questions and answers between teacher and learner. So it becomes a dynamic environment which is stimulating the conversation, critical thinking of the learners, and everything else that goes with that. So technology really increases, in our mind, access to education.
Mm, absolutely. As an executive of Brainline and also being familiar with the home schooling and all that, what is the way forward do you think government can use as an approach to bridge this gap in a learning environment in a digital age?
Well, for me, the biggest thing is that government approaches and just puts out their hand to people who are in education, whether it's parents, learners, teachers, principals, companies like myself, Brainline, doing distance education. Just reach out the hand and just say, join us, so that we can together create better situations where learners can get access to education in all ways and means, and not be restrictive. Because my sense at this point in time, and probably that's my only sense, is that government is only looking towards traditional schools. Mm. And that may not be the only answer. There are so many other models out there, successful models producing matriculants with 4, 5, 6, 7 A's that can go into tertiary studies with great success. So if government can just reach out a hand and take the hand of whoever is in education, everybody is so eager, because what is this all about? This is about acting in the interest of the child. Mm. And what is the interest of the child? To get the best education he or she can possibly have, so that they can walk out into the workforce and be a productive member of a society. Or, if they wish to do so, walk into tertiary studies, whether it be diplomas, whether it be certificates, whether it be degrees, whether it be vocational studies, whatever the case may be. But just get me that diploma, get me that national senior certificate of which we are so proud, our South African national senior certificate, so that I can access the workforce and access tertiary studies.
Absolutely. Where can people get hold of you when they want more information in regard with the Brainline?
The easiest, even the phone becomes old-fashioned when we think about the internet. So our website is very informative, and I think people will like it a lot. It's brainline.com. Brain like the brain in your head, B-R-A-I-N, and line like a line on the ground, L-I-N-E.com.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Colleen, for your time, and I will really appreciate that. I hope many people will consider maybe putting their kids in a home schooling environment so that they can be able to adapt into digital age.
Thank you so much. It's always been so lovely to speak with you.
Welcome. That was Colleen Cronje, the CEO of Brainline, which continually strives to adapt to the latest technologies to remain relevant and innovative, to develop products to serve in a home schooling environment. But for now, this is the Lunchbox and Chill with myself, Alice K.